It's 9 o'clock on a Friday, and that means it's time for Frankly Friday, a chance for you to connect with the community, thanks to the wonderful team at Driving Miss Daisy. This is Frankly Friday, only on Access Radio Taranaki, your community voice. Good morning to you and welcome, of course, to Frankly Friday today for another Friday. Hope you've had a great week. Gosh, it's been a busy week for us here. Really huge, huge, huge week, actually. And sometimes you often sit back and you think, gosh, how fast things go, don't they? As you get older, the years seem to go a lot faster. Well, of course, we come to you thanks to the wonderful Mel and the team at Driving Miss Daisy. And in today's show, we have got an amazing woman to come in and talk to us. Now, it's a lady who I've known for many years, in fact. Used to teach her when she was just a teenager. I taught her drama. She has more than 15 years' experience as a massage therapist, including Hawaiian Lomi Lomi, which is hot stone sports and touch therapy. She's a certified breathwork facilitator. She offers one-on-one coaching, group programs and workshops, wellness retreats. She's passionate about helping women reconnect with themselves through holistic well-being, and her name is Moana Hancock. And Moana joins us later on today to talk about why she's actually come on board as one of the sponsors for the play that I'm directing called The Vagina Monologues. And we're going to talk a little bit about somatic healing, what that is, what it means, and how you can push through life's challenges, really. It's going to be a really interesting interview with Mo today. Really looking forward to it. She lives, actually, funnily enough, just down the road from my daughter, just out of Stratford, and her whole biography and what she's done in her life and overcoming obstacles and working through trauma. It's been a really amazing journey that she has walked through. So we'll be catching up with Moana Hancock later on this morning. But we will, however, play a song here on Frankly Friday. Good morning.
Join Mink Young for Kowi Corner, the show for Taranaki Koreans by a Taranaki Korean. Hosted by Mink Young, Kowi Corner is a place where listeners can learn some basic Korean while fellow Koreans reconnect with their culture, language and community. Kowi, the proud name Kiwi Koreans use for themselves, celebrating identity and connection right here in Taranaki. Proudly supported by the Ethnic Communities Development Fund. Tune in every Monday morning at 10 here on RFM, your community voice.
When you're young, having someone believe in you can change everything. Across Taranaki, Toi Foundation is backing youth programs, learning opportunities and safe spaces that help rangatahi find their pathway and voice. Why? Because the choices we make today strengthen our whole community tomorrow. We all benefit from walking together and working together. Toi Foundation are supporting positive futures for Taranaki youth and for us all. Read the stories of their support at toifoundation.org.nz.
Field Talk don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk. Locally owned and operated, Field Talk is your home of Massey Ferguson, Fendt and Valtra tractors. For servicing, repairs and maintenance, Field Talk is your one-stop shop. They've got on-road technicians, a fully stocked workshop and an on-site general engineering shop. Field Talk are also Pertec agents for all your hose repairs and fittings. And their parts department can find almost any part you're after. Stop in and see the team today. Field Talk, 101 Broadway, Stratford.
Seven women, dozens of stories, one unforgettable night of theatre. From the 5th of August, New Plymouth Little Theatre proudly presents The Vagina Monologues, the award-winning play by Eve Ensler that has captivated audiences around the world. Funny, moving, thought-provoking and deeply human, this powerful collection of monologues celebrates women's experiences with honesty, courage and humour. You'll laugh, you'll reflect and you'll be talking about it long after the curtain falls. The Vagina Monologue plays for a strictly limited season from the 5th of August at New Plymouth Little Theatre. Book at iTicket.
With rental properties and market uncertainty, you need a team that can handle your investment. The Rent Shop is your partner in property management. They deliver expert management, quality tenants and consistent support to help protect your property no matter the market. Don't leave your investment to chance. Switch to your local team at The Rent Shop today. TheRentShop.co.nz, your family-owned Kiwi business.
Stratford.nz.
Hi, I'm Laura and I live in Stratford and you're listening to Art FM.
Kei te wakarongo koutou ki SS Radio, ko tahi, kore whā, dot whā FM.
I'm
of course, back to Frankly Friday for another Friday. And with me, I have via Zoom, is Moana Hancock here, which is lovely to have you, Mo, join us. You and I go way back.
We do.
We
We do.
do. We do. We do. I think you were about 14 or 15 when I first met you. Yeah. And you come to me for speech and drama lessons as a young teenage girl.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it actually, the poetry that we did around the cow.
Oh, it might have been
Do
The Cow
you
by Roald Dahl. Was it
remember
The Cow by Roald Dahl? Yeah, that's such a cool poem. Such a cool poem. It's amazing. I feel like we've come full circle because even now, as I was saying beforehand, I mean, you live just down the road from my daughter and her partner. They're just up the road from you too. So I drive past your place a couple of times a week. Of course, your beautiful Te Toro views. It's just stunning. Absolutely beautiful what you've got there. It's beautiful. It is. It's
Thank you.
beautiful. It
Thank
is.
you.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yes,
Mo,
it
tell
is.
us about the brand Moana Hancock, where you've come from, and your journey of growth, and discovery, really, I guess you could say. I mean, and one of the terms that people have alluded to with you is that you've gone from silence to being a sovereign. So explain a little bit about your background and about what you do and how you came about it.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Tracy, for having me here. So for centuries, women have been taught to disconnect from their bodies. So we don't trust our bodies, we don't trust our voice, we don't trust our no, meaning no being a full sentence, and we don't trust our pleasure, and we don't trust our instincts. So I am a somatic coach. And somatic is body work, which means I work with the body rather than just the mind. So we use ancient modalities like movement, breath work, sound, nervous system practices to help women reconnect with themselves. So many women have spent years overriding what their body is telling them. And my work is about helping them remember that their body isn't the problem, it's actually one of their greatest sources of wisdom. And for me, like growing up, believing that my body was something to control or to cover or disconnect from, I spent years looking outside of myself for permission instead of trusting what I felt inside. So it was all about coming back to that relationship with my own body. And for me, that's where my life had changed. And now that's the work that I share with other women.
It's quite funny you say that, Mo, because one of the things, as you know, like I've had bariatric surgery, and one of the things I'll never forget, one of the psychologists on a retreat I went to, he said to me how so often weight issues and weight gains to do with trauma. And I said to myself, oh, I had a really good childhood, and yeah, I did, I had this, and what was it? And then when you start unpacking it and stripping those layers off, holy mother of God, now I go, aha, like, yeah, I can absolutely see where food for me was that comfort and it was that escapism, and it put the barrier up for me to be able to not be accessible. That was the way I felt, like if I carried the extra weight, it made me less attractive, which meant that it would protect me from ever being hurt. Like it's quite crazy for me how when I actually really unpacked it, I found it really interesting for me. Yeah, your face is interesting.
And I'm glad you brought this up because I've been on the same journey. Like, back in 2020, I had a gastric sleeve in Thailand. And same thing, just like I knew there was a deeper layer to what I was holding. I just didn't know how to connect with that. So, yeah, that gastric sleeve was an opening of like, well, this is an opportunity to get a little bit of a break and then start on a journey to, reclaiming like what is this, what's happening to my body, why am I responding in this way? Because yeah, many of us, we go on this diet and that diet and we're going to the gym and we're trying to exercise and it does absolutely nothing when we haven't gone to the root cause, which is
Yeah,
like the
absolutely.
trauma that we
Yeah,
hold.
that was interesting.
And
Mo, can we touch on quickly, because obviously you came from a family where religion was a really big thing and control around that. How was that a turning point that led you to where you are now?
yeah, well, like I thought leaving would have given me this freedom that I was searching for. I was like, God, once I leave and I can start my life and I can start living things on my terms, I thought that I would be completely liberated and free to make my own decisions. But I actually felt like I was in a prison when I came out. So when you leave something like a whole high-controlled religion, you have all this brainwashing or all these things that you've been taught from a child. So you're taught to believe that the world is evil, that the world is dangerous. And so I was like, oh, my gosh, like I didn't feel safe anywhere inside my body. And that was my journey too with my body. I was like, I never felt safe. So yeah, it pretty much had to strip away my whole identity and yeah, just start, I just went on a big, did a lot of research, read a lot of books and did a lot of mentoring to kind of go, what is going on?
Yeah.
Why can't I find freedom in all of this? Like, you know, like I made such a big sacrifice, like leaving my whole family behind. And then, yeah, but I felt really lost.
It's quite interesting, you know, like you, one of the things that I like reading into about what you do with somatic work is that, you know, like about reclaiming confidence, intuition and listening to yourself and knowing that your body holds memories and how that you do have that capacity to heal. So explain a little bit about how does somatic healing, how does that work with encouraging women to go through that? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's an ancient modality, so it's nothing that we don't already know. That's what we're starting to share with women, is like, we're not here to fix you, we're not here to heal you, we're actually here to show you how to come back to the home of your body. So this is like a remembrance. It's not, yeah, you know, we always say there's nothing that you need outside of yourself. It's just like calling you back to the system of your body. So the body has, we have these sensations. Like, I don't know if you've read the book, The Pussy Reclamation, but she talks about that women, it's so important for women to feel pleasure. And when I talk about pleasure, I'm talking about it's so important because we have 8,000 nerve endings in our body that craves for pleasure. So when we're working 9 to 5 and we're busting our guts and we're like running around doing everything for our families, and then when it comes to ourselves, we have nothing left. There's no pleasure to be enjoyed. Mm. There's no pleasure to come back to. So pleasure meaning like joy and happiness and sin. So somatic work is about coming back to the senses of the body. So what does it smell like? What does it taste like? What does it feel like? So when we activate those senses in our bodies, we start to remember that, oh, this is where I'm feeling niggles, or this is where I'm feeling pain, or this is where I'm feeling joy. And it's from this type of modalities, like movement is really important for us. Like a lot of us sit at a desk all day typing, doing repetitive work that is not good for our bodies. So that's why movement is so important. Like moving, especially for women, we need to move our hips. Because when we can't voice what we want, then we can't voice what's connected to our hips as well, because the voice and the hips are connected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's an energetic connection between our voice and our womb, and if we don't move it and we don't spiral our bodies, and then we can't come back to that intuition. So that's what somatic work is about.
Oh,
the body responds faster than the mind, because the mind will always go from a cognitive, like an experience that we have or a memory that we have. And it's when we listen to the body has the deeper understanding of what we're really needing.
Mm-hmm.
So somatic work is, can be found in things like movement. Breath work is really, it's our life force, which so many people are disconnected to as well. Like we're very, when we breathe, we panic breathe, or we breathe from our shoulders up or from our chest.
Vascular.
But we're really meant to be using the whole body. Mm-hmm. So breathing right deep into the belly, the puku, And when we do that, we're opening up the portal to really feel what's at the core of our bodies. And sound is another thing. Like so much of us women, we don't feel safe enough to express ourselves through sound. So activating sound, like yummy, or you know, just like expressing. And you can really watch this in our children. Like when you watch a child eat, normally they don't express through words, they express through sound.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, or they'll use movement. They'll rub their bellies when they're eating breakfast.
Yes.
And they'll rub their bellies and they're like, So when you watch your grandbabies or...
Yeah, absolutely, they do that.
It's a natural... Yeah. We call it a natural instinct, but it's something that we've lost as we've, you know, gone through teenagehood and then adulthood, we forget to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's more so can right. be expressed through the somatics rather than words. Words are... not really meaningful as much as like what we express through the body. And this is we see this in every Indigenous culture around the world. Like you look at here in Aotearoa with Waiata, with haka, look at the haka. You know, like the sound, the expression. You don't even need, like so many people around the globe are like, I don't even understand what they're saying, but I feel the transmission.
So cool, so cool.
Yeah, hey, do you
know absolutely. I don't know exactly what you mean.
So that's semantics. It's like you don't need to know, you just feel it.
Yeah, I absolutely get what you're saying. Hey, we're going to go to a song and we'll be back with you to talk to you in a minute because I want to talk to you about the vagina monologues and Reagan and your connection with the gorgeous Reagan who's in the show and why you've come on board as one of the sponsors. We'll be back very shortly here on Frankly Friday.
Kia ora, I'm Sam Bennett and you're listening to Art FM.
I am my mother's savage daughter, the one who runs barefoot cursing sharp stones. I am my mother's savage daughter, I will not cut my hair, I will not lower my voice. My mother's child is a savage. She looks for her omens in the colors of stones, in the faces of cats, in the falling of feathers, in the dancing of fire, in the curve of old bones. I am my mother's savage daughter, the one who runs barefoot cursing sharp stones. I will not cut my hair, I will not lower my voice. My mother's child dances in the darkness, she sings heathen songs by the light of the moon, and watches the stars and renames the planets, and dreams she can reach them with a song and a broom. Into this world through blood and through pain, and deep in our bones the old songs are waking, so sing them with voices of thunder and rain. We are our mother's savage daughters, the one who runs barefoot cursing sharp stones. We are our mother's savage daughters, we will not cut our hair, we will not lower our voice.
Notices with the team at Field Talk Taranaki. Well, the Salvation Army here in New Plymouth is looking for donations for their book fair that's coming up, and you can drop all donations of books and magazines to their premises in Powderham Street. The Stratford Makers Market is on every Saturday from 10 to 1 in the Crazy Pumpkin Building on Broadway, with loads of crafts, produce and much, much more. Tickets for the Vagina Monologues are on sale now, as it opens in August next month at New Plymouth Little Theatre, and you can get your tickets for this award-winning play that's very thought-provoking from iTicket. Now, the 100 by New Plymouth Operatic Society, their latest offering, runs from the 9th to the 18th at the TSB Showplace, and of course you can book for that at Eventfinder. And Pu'anga celebrations in Stratford are on this month, of course, with the Pu'anga Nui Atirangi event on Thursday, the 9th of July, at the War Memorial Hall, running from 4 to 7. And there's loads of other workshops and exhibitions on the Saturday as well. And do head along to the Stratford District Council Facebook page for more information. Don't forget also, if you have a community notice, whether it's an event or something that's happening that you'd like the community to know about it, make sure you drop us a line to manager@artmedia.org.nz. That's community notices from Field Talk, Taranaki.
I'm just a schoolgirl living in a fantasy world. Now I'm outspoken. Walked around for a couple of years trying to convince myself was a plan I was to understand it. They said things to me like, you're so beautiful. They spoke of other things like, how much do you charge? You're you.
Welcome back to Frankly Friday. Thanks to Driving Miss Daisy, we have Moana Hancock, who lives just outside of Stratford on a beautiful dairy farm, looking with the most amazing views that you have there, with views of the Taranaki Maunga and then over to Ruapehu, Tongariro, Narahoe. You get to see them all from where you are. And of course, you've got your beautiful retreat that you run there, Mo, too.
Oh, yes, we just come off that over the weekend. It was bloody delicious.
I bet it was. It's the most beautiful spot. And I think the other thing that gets me is how people can go and stay there for, you know, like a just an escape for a few nights. I mean, what a wonderful place to go.
Yeah, it was an absolute dream. Like, the women were so beautiful and hungry and open and ready to receive. Oh, cool. It was really beautiful.
Now, speaking of hungry and open, of course, as you know, I'm directing the Vagina Monologues at New Plymouth Little Theatre that opens next month, and we have the wonderful Reagan Denton-Giles in our cast, and each of the cast members have a sponsor, and Moana Hancock, you're one of the sponsors that have come on board to sponsor Reagan, so thank you for doing that. It's quite interesting, because what you're saying and what you've said about somatics leads me to the connection with this play, because this play is about a group of over 200 women were interviewed, and it's verbatim theatre is where it's based on truth, and actually the voices, the actors aren't playing roles, it's when they're just being vessels to be able to spread the word of these women. And so these seven actors that we have on stage in the show are the voices of these 200 women. And it's really interesting, as we've gone through the rehearsal process, and you get eight women together, with myself being there, being the eighth one. And oh my God, the stories that we've shared and the conversations that we've had, I mean, I'll be honest, I have learned so much in the way of intimate moments of every single woman in that cast. And at the moment, for example, we're playing reels on the Little Theatre social pages, and, you know, the women are sharing their own first experiences of having sex, or their first experience of how did they learn about the birds and the bees, and how did they, you know, did you feel different the first time you had a proper pashy kiss? And, you know, like all the things that you expect, that you just know and you don't. Like, it's been really a real journey of self-discovery. And one of the things that have really shocked me, I guess, probably, is that here we are, 2026, but how oppressed women still feel. And I can't get over how we as society, we've come a long way. And obviously we've seen those Me Too movements, and we've seen all of that come out and be rolled out, and people have been identified as sexual predators more, and people are more aware of it. But here we are, 2026, and women still don't feel safe being able to be honest with their feelings and their emotions and being who they are. And this is a play that confronts that. That certainly warts and all, and it's stories of truth and ownership and empowerment. Yeah. And, you know, like, it's the most, I say it's a beautiful play, but it will have people feeling uncomfortable. There will be people who, I bet you anything that there will be people who probably will walk out, because it's confronting, right? You know, and within the first 5 minutes, you've heard every terminology for what your vagina's called, over from one side of America to Germany and Austria, or wherever, what, you know, the terminology that we have. And it's quite interesting. I was talking to a friend here the other day, Mo, who works here, and she said to me that in their household they use the correct terminology with her little six-year-old, that it's vagina and penis, and that's what they use, the correct terminology. Whereas my generation, and I mean, you're a lot younger than me, but I can remember, like, it wasn't actually called anything. And like, one of the things we talked about, you know, Sharon Reed, who's in the show, talked about, and she's in her 70s, was that she lived in a house with all women, and all girls had sisters, but they still covered their vulva up with a flannel if they were in the bathroom, and yet there was nothing to see anyway, you know, but you still did that, and it was more than modesty, it was something to be, you know. And I talked to my mum, who's in her 90s, and it was almost to be ashamed of your body, to keep it hidden, don't express it. And you know, and even like, I look at my own girls who are, you know, in their late 20s, and one of them's a mum now, and we've talked about things from when they grew up, who we were very, very open in my household, very open, nothing was hidden, and we're still like that now. And in conversation, I can remember a high school principal when I was teaching saying to me, "Your family's really abnormal that you can talk to each other like you do." And I was thinking, well, it's such a great thing that they can come to me and feel okay that any topic's fine. We don't have to feel ashamed. We all stuff up. All of us have got things that we don't like about our bodies. We all do, you know, and it's okay. That's okay. That acceptance is okay. But it's being able to appreciate who we are. One of the things that I'll give you another example of it. I saw a social reel on Facebook the other night and I thought, wow. So Brianna, my oldest daughter's youngest baby, 6 months old, and he is still firmly attached with his umbilical cord to her. He will not like, he doesn't like her being out of his sight. She has to hold him a lot. And it was a video reel that had came across, and it was when a mother has a child like that, that's actually a sign that a baby gives to a mother to tell them to slow down, to just can't, just they want you to be with them and to connect and to slow. It's nothing that you should feel, oh, I can't put them down, they're a Klingon or da 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 da. It's just nature's way of telling you to slow down your brain, slow down, just reconnect with who you are as a wahine and your lovely little bubbas. And I thought, what a beautiful way of describing it, because so many people go, oh, well, I'm not doing it this way, or I need to do it this way. And I'm starting to see a change even with my own daughters and the way they parent, how it's changed. And thank God, thank freaking God that it's okay. If you want to co-sleep, you do what you need to do. You're like, it's okay. And if we look back in history, well, babies were with their parents. That's where they were. They were with their parents in bed. And it's nothing to be ashamed of and frightened to be able to say that you co-sleep. And it's
Yeah, and
okay.
back in ancient times we were in tribes, so
Absolutely.
it took a village to raise a child,
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
and they're bringing back, we're starting to see doulas
Yeah,
now,
it's beautiful.
coming in to support mums, and
Yeah.
even notice now, with baby showers changing, they're sort of like, hey, let's make some meals and do a roster.
Yeah, I know, isn't
It's
that
like,
wild?
oh.
I know. And the other thing which got me is that I see the new East Wing at the hospital now. It's got a queen size bed in the delivery room, and the dads can stay there overnight in the delivery
Oh,
room. I mean,
brilliant.
thank frickin' God, about bloody time, you know? How good's that? Hey, tell me, how did you meet Reagan? How did you connect with Reagan?
Well, we actually run a dance temple in New Plymouth. There's five of us that have dance temples, so that's bringing the Semitic movement, Semitic
Right.
dance. And then Reagan's come along to that, and I would have popped up one of my offerings online, and Reagan jumped all in.
Yeah.
I actually have come up with a movement called Lick Me.
Now I've got a funny feeling this might be what she's doing in the show, because she does this most amazing monologue called The Angry Vagina. And I tell you what, it's one that I think I will be absolutely floored if every woman doesn't sit there and go bloody oath and start chanting at the end, because it talks about how obviously clearly it was a man who invented tampons, and can't have women be having pleasure in their lives, and you've got to conform and we'll shove a tampon up and it's going to be feeling uncomfortable and it's not the most wonderful of things. And she goes through talking about, stop bloody making me have the most terrific things going in for a pelvic exam and having to put my feet in stirrups, and it's the worst case scenario, what we all think. But she does this one bit where she talks about embrace me and feed me, and she's moving and using her body in rhythm and shape. Now I've gone, aha, now I know where that comes from. Absolutely. And it's like looking at your videos, I've now clicked. Yes, that's where that comes. Yeah, absolutely.
I think, I've been saying this for a while now. It's like I had a journey with the mirror. I know most of us find it really difficult to stand in front of the mirror and actually eye gaze. So
Absolutely.
I found that really, really difficult. And I was like, I don't know what to actually love about myself right now. Like that was many years ago, but I was just like, I actually don't know. And I know a lot of women can relate to this when they first look in the mirror, like really look, that
Yeah.
they like, shit, I don't know either. So, and once I was like, you know what, I'm going to go on a journey to start investigating and understanding my body a lot more. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and just coming back to this type of modalities and, you know, like opening up that space to my intuition, because that's what that does as well. Like it brings you home to what's already alive, and it starts to speak to you in ways that you're like, oh my gosh. So when I say to women, I was like, you know, when we do mirror work, yeah, we really teach them to like engage with the mirror, and it's like, I really want you to look at yourself in a way, it will take time, but at the end, I want you to love yourself so much that you find yourself lickable. Like if you can't lick yourself, like, and I'm just like, might be just your arm or something, if you find that quite constricting, then yeah, there's some deep medicine in going on a journey to recover those parts of yourself. So yeah, it is like creating a brand new relationship with yourself when you've been completely numb and disconnected. Like, of course you're not going to see anything beautiful. So for me, it was just like, oh, I don't even understand what my intuition is. I've been blocked from that. I've never been able to trust my own instinct. And so, yeah, there was just like this beautiful journey to understand the womb space and our vagina.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and what's the medicine there? Yeah. Because everyone says, trust your intuition, trust your instinct. But I was like, I don't really understand that. And so lick me is like, it's something, it's not sexual. It's like, yeah, can we go deeper? And I'm meaning like go to the senses, connect back to the earth, because the earth has so many messages for us as well. Like we're not different to Papatuanuku. Mm. She is us and we are her. Yeah. We're cyclical beings and we follow her rhythms. And so, yeah, lick me is about like, we're not surface level on this journey. We want to go deep because that's where the medicine is.
It's funny that you say that, because I'm just, one of the things I've discovered, and obviously I've been watching the series that, for example, on Glorivale, which I find absolutely so incredibly interesting. I bet you do. But I watch it and I think of, you know, these women being oppressed, that they've been so oppressed. And then the other day, just to give you an example, my daughter came round. She's got a little boy who's nearly two, another baby, as I say, 6 months old, who's like a little Klingon, who's just beautiful. But one of the things that happened was we were talking about how when she had just left school, she was going to WIT actually, and the younger sister was doing a photographic board for art for year 13. So Brianna got roped into having to model for it. And it was, you know, the art boards that you have for high school. They're like three great big, huge, bloody big boards that you have with all these photos and art pieces on them. Anyway, back when Caitlin had left high school, she wanted me to throw it out, but there were these amazing photos of her sister that I kept it and I hid it. Mm. And of course, here we are now 10 years later, or 11 years later, I said to them, hey, I've got that art board. And they were like, what? And I said, I've got it. So I went downstairs and I grabbed it and I brought it up. And little Finn, who's not quite two, he was there, and Brianna had, he was running around playing like a dad, and Brianna had a look at it, and she was like, oh my God, I can't believe I used to think I was fat, or I can't believe I thought, you know, I was so friggin' frumpy, and, you know, she's this most beautiful 18-year-old girl on there, and she was like, she goes, oh my God, I've gone to the pack. Like she sat there and I said, no, you haven't. She goes, I don't even recognize who I am there. I don't know who that girl is now, who I am, because I'm like, I've got stretch marks and I've got, my bum's fat. I've just had this other baby and, you know, all the things that you go through. And, you know, the most enlightening moment, she sat there looking at these photos going, I don't know who she is. I don't recognize her. Her little boy at 21 months old came up, looked at the photos on the board and went, mummy.
Oh,
mummy. And I looked at her and I said to her, Brianna, you're still there. You're still there. Just because the packaging's changed a little bit, that essence of you and that girl is still there.
Oh, absolutely.
No, and, you're still and there.
Our young women, you know, like Brianna, like, you know, they're bombarded with so much out there in the beauty industry.
Well, you've got daughters, Mo, you know, you must have seen it with your own girls.
Yeah, always comparing themselves, you know, like, you know, so many, they just have no, like strong mentors out there to really, you know, bring them back to their bodies. And we're all different shapes and sizes. And, you know, if we go back into ancient times, like there's sculptures that are moulded out of, you know, like clay and stone.
Well, look, and in Ireland,
these women are voluptuous, you know, they're not. Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that got me when I was doing this play, I looked at research about how what's acceptable and what's, you know, socially acceptable in different cultures. And one of the things that I was absolutely blown away with, because my family's Irish, but I didn't know that in Ireland, if all these villages and churches have got all of these stone carvings of vulvas.
Yes.
All of these, the stuff. And it was like,
yes,
how did I never not know that that existed, or that, you know? And you look at, even when you look at you know, the adaptations of film from books and stuff, and how some of those ancient cultures, with whether it be Gaelic or whatever, and you look at things like Outlander, for example, it celebrates that feminine power and that intuition, and like, yeah, it's been around for centuries, and like you said, we've just forgotten.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And the tree, there's a tree of life, which has so much symbolic meaning from that Celtic, you know, culture as well, about spirals. Like, you'll see a lot of spirals within that culture. Yeah. And that's what we mean. We're not linear. Women are not designed to be linear.
No, we're not.
We're non-linear. So we're meant to, we're not straight lines. We cycle and we spiral. And that's the beauty of Somatic dance. We're not teaching you anything. It's not structured. It's just like, you will know when you practice and when you be consistent with movement. It's not, this is how you move, and we're instructing you to do something. It's just like you remembering how to move.
Beautiful.
Through the connection with nature.
Mo, let's talk now about your Lomi Lomi massage, because I've had one of these, and I tell you what, it was the best massage I've ever had in my life. I kid you not. I need to have another one, because it was phenomenal. Are you still doing your massage?
Yeah, I am. I'm still doing my massage, and then I've sort of implement all of these beautiful modalities as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which has just made it a lot more richer. So yeah, like Lomi Lomi is a Hawaiian massage, and it's all centered around the heart space.
Yeah.
So it's a loving massage, and it really is about nourishing the nervous system, bringing it back into that parasympathetic sensation. And, you know, bringing us back to relaxation, like coming back to the senses again, coming back to the breath. And Lomi Lomi is a dance. Yeah,
I can believe that, because I noticed what got me was how you were using your forearms and everything was rolled, and it was this
super,
I would admit like that's where, and it quite, like, I found it quite emotional. I had a rongo mai, I think, believe it's called, a traditional Maori massage, I think it's called a ronga mai. I had one of those done, and it reminded me very much of having, they're quite similar, and both of them I got emotional. It's quite funny. I did get quite emotional with both, and it's that whole again, it's that grounding thing, isn't it? And that
and that's the medicine, Tracy. See, that's if you can. Like, with no one's pushing you or pressuring you to do that, like, it's just naturally, it's your natural instinct opening up and expressing emotion. So you obviously would have felt like relaxed, you would have found your safety in that, and to be able to open up and release that. So that's what this medicine is.
Beautiful.
You know, Lomi Lomi is no different to the ancient modalities. Like, it is an ancient modality, but it's a prayer to the body. It's coming back to the heart, and it's like, it's the ocean. So you would have felt that my hands were in so many different places.
Absolutely,
it's because my body is like moving like the ocean. So I'm going under, I'm going over, spiraling. Yeah, and that's another way to come back to our natural ability to remember who we are.
Yep,
so that's what all that is about. But yeah, so yeah, still doing it and just adding different layers to it to make it even more juicier. I did want to, if it's okay, I did want to talk more about like why I decided to sponsor.
Yeah, do this.
Because I feel like we're so similar. Like a few years ago, I opened my house up for Christmas. With the open homes up for Christmas for Team Hope.
Yes, it's right.
And I was like, that'd be amazing actually, because like we never grew up with Christmas because I was brought up in this particular religion, so we didn't celebrate Christmas. So I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But I went right in and I was like, I'm going to create things that really mean something to me. So I made a earth tree, a tree dedicated to Papa Tuanuku. Mm-hmm. And then I just brought elements from, you know, Papa and brought that in, decorated my tree. But then I made another tree and it was a yoni tree or a vagina tree. So I got some clay and I molded vaginas out of some clay and then got them ready and I hung them from the Christmas tree. And what came up in that, and I got a lot of challenges around that, like people were like, oh, I don't know if you should do that, like, yeah, that's just ick, or that's embarrassing. And I was like, no, I fully believe in this. I've done so much work around this, I'm not doing that. So I opened it up, and yeah, I was a little bit, you know, like, oh, what's the response I get? But the conversations that came out of that were so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And just like real, like, why did you do that? And I was like, oh, this is opening now a conversation. Mm-hmm. around why I've done it and what's my journey with that. So I guess the I just fell in love with this. I bought a ticket straight away, and with Reagan in here, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So conversations change culture.
100%.
Because as we know, shame grows in silence, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the more that we can create spaces where women can talk openly about their bodies without embarrassment, the healthier our communities become. So it's like planting that seed of curiosity. Mm-hmm. So your play gives people permission to have conversations many of us were never allowed to have. So the tree, I want to talk about the yoni tree and what it represents. So the tree represents life. So you've already spoke about it with the Celtics. You know, if you go into that, you'll know about the tree of life.
Yeah.
So it represents life, roots, growth, and belonging. So every yoni tree will be completely unique, just like every woman is unique, just like her vagina is unique.
Yeah.
We're all unique beings. So for so long we've been taught that parts of ourselves should be hidden or we should feel embarrassed about, but this tree is a celebration of diversity rather than perfection. It reminds us that everybody has a place and everybody belongs.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I really love that. It's a perfect fit for this play because this is what it's about. It's about that, you know. And you know, to give you an idea, Mo, there's one monologue in it, which there's two. Actually, there's probably two that are probably the most challenging one. One which is about a woman who was gang raped. Yeah. And she shares the story of being gang raped and then shares the story of how she used escapism to try and get away from that trauma and then has to face the truth again over and over and over again. So it's that and about her, what she thought life was going to be like when she was a child to the way she survived this horrific, horrific gang rape. And it's about in Bosnia, that's what it's about. It's a woman who was interviewed from the Bosnia wars, and that's so emotional but so powerful. And the other monologue, which I think is going to be the one that talks about regrowth, and it's one that when she starts off and it goes through a timeline of her being a 5-year-old girl, then a 7-year-old girl, then an 8-year-old girl, and how she goes from being this happy little go lucky little girl who was told, don't you put your hands in your pants, you need to wear 2 pairs of undies, you're not allowed to touch yourself, to being a 7-year-old girl who gets kicked quite, you know, nothing malicious, but get kicked in the pelvis by a boy, and then, oh, don't let anybody touch you. And then eventually by the time she's 10, her parents have split up and she actually is raped by a family friend. And then as a 12-year-old who is recovering or attempting still to recover from that rape, and then all of a sudden she's 16 and she meets a woman who completely shows her that her body's actually a beautiful thing and a beautiful safe space, who has a same-sex experience. And it flips this whole series of nastiness and horror into something that actually is the most beautiful rediscovery of herself at 16.
Wow.
You know, and they're so powerful. And I absolutely admire these women who've taken this on, because you don't get to see theatre like this very often.
No.
Don't get to see it.
No.
It's not a play that you can go and sit down and go, I'm going to be entertained for 2 hours. It's not like that. I expect people to feel uncomfortable. I expect to see people moving in their seats. I expect to see women cry, laugh, chant. But I expect them to go home and want them to go home in the car going far out and then start sharing their stories. That's what I would love. That's our aim. And also too, I want
That's
to
the
see men.
medicine.
I want to see men there. Men need to come along because they need to know, like, how many times do, and they're almost frightened of taking that step. And this is, there will be men in the audience and it will be a safe space for them. But to go and actually see, and you never know, you might bloody learn something, and it might be.
They can't not.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's gonna be phenomenal. Hey Mo, how do people find you to come along to your retreats or learn about your somatic work or whether it's your Lomi Lomi, how do people find you? What's your website?
So I do have a website, www.imoanahancock.com, and then I'm also on a platform on Instagram and TikTok. Same thing, like Instagram is Moana underscore Hancock. Facebook,
Yeah, we'll put
I'm
all the
pretty
links
much
up
out there.
on our Facebook page, actually. We'll put all
Email, you can
the
email me. So I do one-on-one coaching, I do group coaching, and we do retreats now. We do somatic dance events, and so we've got quite a bit on. There's so much to talk about. We could probably do a
Absolutely. We
series
could do a
too,
whole
couldn't
series. We should do. We
we?
should actually do that. Hey, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing your story of resilience and recovery and womanhood and embracement and all those wonderful words, because honestly, I really feel, and having known you for years, I've seen you go from that young teenage girl to being who you are now. And yeah, I'm so proud of you. So proud
Thank you
of you.
so much, darling.
So proud of you. Hey, join us next week here on Frankly Friday. That was Moana Hancock. And as I say, all the details about her will be on our Facebook page. And we'll see you back here next week at 10 o'clock here on Frankly Friday.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information on this show and others like this, head along to our website, artmedia.org.nz. That's artmedia.org.nz.